And there he was, laying in the mud. Nothing but a mud man. He had feet, but he wasn't going anywhere. He had hands, but he wasn't doing anything. Unproductive. Just laying there. Lifeless. Helpless. Have you ever felt that way? That you were helpless? You were going nowhere? You were doing nothing? Just existing? Well, God, in his magnanimous love, stooped the breath of life into this form, into this mud man, and he became a living soul. Now, I don't find it hard to imagine Adam sitting up and looking around as if to say, I'm just so glad to be here. I have no problem imagining that. And I have no problem imagining the smile on God's face as he talked and walked with him. And I believe that the triune God says, let's never lose him, because they loved him. Breath of God made him a kindred spirit. He was able to talk with God. He was able to walk with God. He was able to communicate with God. He was not only a kindred spirit, he was family. I believe God, the Word, called him Brother Adams. The Bible says that he is not ashamed to call us brethren. This was God's, the Word's, baby brother, younger brother, little brother. Because we know later on there was another Adam. I like that. And they said, let's never lose. Let's never be without him. Yet there was a possibility that if given the chance, he would choose the wrong. God didn't want love by compulsion. God gave him a choice. He wanted him to choose him. So in the wise counsel of God, they decided that the Word would stand appropriated as a sacrifice to pay for any that mankind would do. Therefore, the Word stood as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. He was appropriated until he became propitiation. Revelation tells us he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. And because of sin in the garden, the appropriated Lamb had to come to the earth. And in that interim, there is a picture given of man's bankruptcy in the personal life called Job. Job had everything, a beautiful wife, 10 children, many flocks, large barns in which to keep his substance in. He had everything. But when the losses started, it wasn't long until all was gone. His children, his wealth. What tragedy could be worse than this? Yet there was more. His body wasted away until it was so offensive that no one wanted to be near him, and repulsive to look at. Job had no hope in replacing his holdings or to make a comeback. What a picture of our world's chaos. Death is upon every man. We, like Job, are not able to pull ourselves up. That's when God, the Word, was personified. We've seen Him in creation. I want to talk for just a few minutes on His personification. In John, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. It was time. It was night time when He came. And oh, what a night that was. That night, a baby was born of a Virgin Mary, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. He whimpered as an infant, but it was that same voice that said, "Let there be light." It was the same voice that said, "Let the earth bring forth grass and trees." At the whimper of this baby, a king tossed in restless sleep. A kingdom trembled. That night, when that baby cried, the lights were turned on, and an angel appeared. And he says, "Fear not, for I bring to you good tidings of great joy to all people." What does this word "all" include? All people, all nationalities, all colors, from all nations. This is good news and great joy to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is called Christ the Lord. That night, I believe the harlot says, "I somehow feel a sense of purity." That night, I believe a prisoner said, "I have the feeling I'm going to be free soon." That night, I believe that blind Bartimaeus said, "I thought I saw a light." Woo! Glory! The living Word, the Savior, had come to cleanse, to deliver, to restore sight to the blind. We don't know much about His young life. We do get a glimpse of Him when He was 12 years old. He is found in the temple, astonishing the doctors and the scribes. And this went on for 3 days. Don't you think in those 3 days that maybe one of them asked Him, "Boy, how old are you?" I don't know how He responded, but I think He could have said something like this: "On my mama's side, I'm 12 years old. But on my father's side, I was before the foundation of the earth. On my mama's side, I get tired and weary. But on my father's side, I invite all who labor and are heavy laden to come to me, and I will give you rest. On my mama's side, I get hot and thirsty. On my father's side, I am the bread of life. I am the well in the wilderness. I am the river in the desert." And I think that probably one of them may have asked, "Where are you from? Where are you from anyway?" What do you think he said? Well, he could have said, "On my mama's side, I'm from Nazareth. But on my father's side, I'm from the portals of glory. I shared the throne with my father up in heaven. On my father's side." I'm going to end the lesson right here. If you enjoyed listening, half as much as I enjoyed teaching this lesson. You are truly blessed. There is power in the Word of Christ. People today, like those of His days in the flesh, still marvel at His gracious words and confess that never a man spake like this man.